This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, we're back. Hour number two. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. All things legal. You can call us or text us on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text line at 260-1870. And we were talking a little bit about wills. And we got a text saying, gentlemen, what are your thoughts on the death of Gene Hackman, his wife, and his dog? And it's sort of an interesting...
Well, I'm sorry. Thoughts on what?
On the death of Gene Hackman, his wife, and his dog. And it was sort of an interesting story because, you know, Gene Hackman was always, there's not a lot of actors I don't say admire, but someone who, you know, if he's on, I'll stop and watch it. I think Gene Hackman's probably one of the great actors of all time. He just sort of did his thing and did it well. didn't comment on the state of culture much.
Well, and the other thing too about it, he had range, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had range. Play, yes. He's authentic.
All different parts. He wasn't the same guy in every movie.
Right. He was very authentic actor. And
but
authentic. And he knew who he was. I mean, he knew he was an actor. He knew he wasn't a politician, which is rare today.
Right. And he knew he wasn't a big box star. You know, like he wasn't gonna, you know, be like a Tom Cruise and or, you know, one of these actors. He wasn't one of those guys. He knew he was just a solid actor that, you know, played a part, you know, in a cast and not was not like necessarily the lead. And he played it well. He was always very good at what he did.
Yeah. I mean, one of my all-time favorite movies is Hoosiers, which is, you know, interesting. There's an attorney, Jay McCreary, who's probably, he's a mediator at one of the mediation firms, MAPS. And Jay was a longtime attorney, sort of on the back end of his career. And his father was Jay McCreary, who was the assistant coach he was the head coach at LSU from 1957 to 1965, head basketball coach. And then when they hired Press Maravich, he agreed to be an assistant coach. And thereafter, he was the first women's coach at LSU. I think it was a club team at the time for the Lady Bengals. And Jay's father, or the attorney, Coach Jay McCreary, I'd worked for him at LSU, and he had told me a story in the early 80s before the movie Hoosiers, that he came from Indiana, and he lost to this podunk team in a state championship, in the Indiana state championship. And he told us the story of Hoosiers, which we paid a little mind to. And then when we saw the movie, he was the coach
right.
who lost to Hickory, which was sort of interesting. So,
wow.
But when I was looking at, I sort of read up on the story on what's our thoughts on Gene Hackman and his wife and his dog. This is what I think happened. Gene Hackman's 95. He had dementia. Very poor health. Probably needed to be in assisted living to the extent that he required a lot of attention, a lot of care, you know, maybe to the extent to doing very basic things such as going to the bathroom, eating, and so which apparently his wife was, you know, took on at their home. Also, they sort of lived a sort of a quiet, isolated life with not a lot of people in and out, and he became very reclusive in his last 6 months. And it appears that his wife died of natural causes. And then he went a period of time without, you know, without any help, not eating, not, you know. And then he ended up dying. And I think, you know, there was an extended time. They had several dogs, but one of them had died. But it seems to me that wife died, and then he died due to the lack of care and attention that he needed given his Alzheimer's, his advanced Alzheimer's. And then at that point, you know, I guess the dog wasn't fed or what have you, wasn't cared for, and that dog wasn't able to, so you know, survive right. That prolonged type of period. But my point
you
is,
know, it's fun.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Well, no, it's funny because, you know, you said she died of natural causes. Something I saw indicated that she died. Speaking of dogs, I'm about to kill two of them. She died of some sort of rat disease where it's like rat droppings or rat urine, and it's not passed like through human contact. Aaron and I had to look it up to see exactly what it was that, but they mentioned it. And so, you know, she could have gotten some sort of virus from whatever, but she ended up dying as a result. And she had apparently died about a week before him. And like you said, you know, it's interesting that, you know, because my guess is prior to that incident, she was probably capable of taking care of him. You know, he might have still been physically mobile enough to get up and go to the restroom or do whatever, and to where she didn't necessarily need the strength of others. And she was just kind of quietly taking care of her husband. But then all of a sudden, she falls ill to this disease or whatever it is, and this virus, and he doesn't know what to do, who to call. He's basically not there. And so it's sad. It really is sad. But, you know, how do you make that call, right? To I'm here, I'm healthy, I'm perfectly capable of taking care of my spouse of however many years, you know, why put him in a home, right? If you get to the point where you got to turn him, you got to lift him, I don't have the physical help. Maybe you should have somebody coming in, you know, certainly they probably had the means for that to come in and help with all of those, you know, physical things that need to be done to make sure that the person's cared for properly.
Those are
decisions.
And I think one of the issues is if you do have parents in that situation who have a, you know, maybe early stages of dementia but still living independently, you need to have a lot of interaction with them at that time, especially just to, you know, checking up on them, making sure that they're okay. And
right.
I think my point was there was nobody there during that extended period of time checking on them. You know, they didn't have a social unit at the time that said, hey, we hadn't heard from, you know, Gene's wife.
Or even a telephone, if it's not a visit, right?
Right.
Just the telephone. Nobody's answering the phone for a week.
Right.
You know, because apparently she had gone about a week before he did. And it's sad. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, they had a life together, and she felt capable of doing it. Apparently, she was doing it. You know, he lived to 95, so she was handling it. But all of a sudden, the caretaker got sick. It's just strange that they would not have had someone, just some assisted living in home person that comes a few days a week or even every day for a little while, just to kind of, handle his bathroom needs. You know, who knows what.
You know, and one of the things when we talk about an elder care, and there's a lot of issues. We were talking a little bit about, you know, dealing with people in advanced age involving their will, their estate planning and wills, is also if you have a relative in a nursing home, and look, a lot of nursing homes, most of them do a great job. We have no, you know, and are to be commended. So we're not criticizing anybody or we're not disparaging, and they do a great job. But there's some places where, if especially if it's a Medicaid facility, you have to show up for that relative because the other workers know if you show up that you will get a better standard of care than you would for someone who never shows up or for a patient who doesn't have any relatives. And I always say, look, you got to go there because they're watching. And if you show up often and they know you show up often, then the chances of your, you know, relative who's in there getting less than standard, you know, optimal care is lessened because they understand that people are watching. Whereas just sort of maybe with some workers, you know, it might be human nature. Well, nobody's really watching. I really don't need to turn them. I don't really need to, you know, some of the bad things that you read about that are, you know, sort of, you know, as far as neglect occur because there's not interaction among friends or family. Or so, you know, that's sort of the lesson that I drew from the Gene Hackman issue is, you know, if you have someone in that situation who's got dementia, they may be living, you know, maybe some quasi-independently, but you know, still on their own, you know, just you have to check on them and, you know, just have a lot of interaction. It, you know, becomes almost like a, not a job, but a requirement to make sure they're okay. So that was just sort of a lesson there. Also, we were talking a little bit about wills and, you know, capacity to do a will. But there's another aspect of what happens a lot of times is, and you'd allude to it last hour, is duress. You know, can you contest a will on based on duress? And what is sort of the standard of that? And a lot of times you have these situations where, let's say you had, you know, mom and dad who were married for 40, you know, 50 years, and, you know, mom died and dad is heartbroken. I mean, just heartbroken. And then maybe 3 or 4 years later, he starts getting female companionship from someone half his age. And the next thing you know, dad is giving his entire estate to the new female companionship who's probably the same age as the granddaughter. And, you know, at what point does it become duress? Or at what point does it become just being a stupid decision, you know, or unwise decision?
Right. And one of the things I think you need to look at is disproportionate gifts, right? So if somebody's got, you know, $5 million in the bank and they give a $10,000 gift to somebody, you know, it's not unusual, perhaps, or out of the ordinary for a person with that kind of wealth to give a gift. But if it's somebody with a, you know, $200,000 estate and they give away 5% of it to some stranger or to a third party, then that's an issue. You know, and there are other things, there are other signs, you know. Unfortunately, you know, look for signs when you go visit of bruising, right? I mean, look for signs you know, of assets. You know, ask your parent, hey, look, can I look at your checkbook? Can I look at your account? You know, I want to see that you're making the right decisions, you know. I've got another situation where a mom and a daughter are fighting. Dad passed away, and mom wants to run the show, and she's just not capable of handling some of the business things that the small business is dealing with. And so, you know, here you are now, you're this adult child with your own children and perhaps some grandchildren, but you know, you now you're the person that's got to come along and tell mom that, you're making horrible business decisions. It's time for me to have to interdict you. It's time for me to step in, you know, just to preserve the wealth. Well, it's just for mom's purposes. So mom can, you know, live out her life and not send the business down the tubes. So those are just really hard, hard decisions to have to make, you know, and it's like, if I pull this trigger, I'm going to be hated. I'm going to be hated for the rest of my life in mom's eyes. And, am I supposed to do the right thing or the easy thing? It's bad. It's horrible decisions that people have to make and hard decisions they have to make. And then of course, then you've got to convince the court that you're right. Mom is making these bad decisions. So you've got to start gathering your witnesses. You've got to start, honestly, videoing some things if you can, or recording some telephone conversations, maybe get the CPA involved, maybe get the lawyer involved, you know, for the business to show that, hey, look, things are really, you know, falling apart here, and mom doesn't have the capacity to handle things. It's a bad situation, but if you have to pull that trigger, the things you need to look out for, things you need to do to get prepared for that moment when you present it to a court.
Right. And that's why they're still around. And, you know, I think a lot of times when evaluating whether there's undue duress, well, the issue is whether there's undue duress in connection with the will is whether he is knowingly making a bad decision in some ways or unwise decision, but he knows it, mm-hmm. or he or she knows it, or is it because that person doesn't understand the consequences of that decision and doesn't have the ability to process it and may have the mental acuity to make those decisions because of some type of impairment. So that is a hard line to draw, because I've had situations where the judge would say, hey, you know, it's really unwise and he's really done something that was been really, really hurtful and maybe not fair to his children, but he knew what he was doing. Even though it was a bad decision, versus he didn't understand what he was doing. He didn't understand the consequences of it, or he had so much pressure or so much duress that he really didn't see an alternative. You know, those are very, very hard questions to answer. And the interesting part, and we'll sort of talk about a little bit more about this after the break, is there are more cases of financial exploitation of the elderly than there is child abuse now. So it's a huge problem. And it's really leaking into the legal system in a lot of different contexts, which we'll talk about a little bit more. And so it's a real problem. You just got to be vigilant and watch it. And like Albert said, there's certain signs that would demonstrate that happening. So, okay, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, Weekend Lawyers, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Sincere, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Brent in the River Parishes, where they grow more football players per capita than anywhere in the world. Hey, Brent, what you got for us?
Good morning. I just wanted to share a short topic about, someone was mentioning nursing homes as options, mm-hmm. and sadly enough and realistically, that has to happen to families that have young children that, you know, a career to support, and they just can't stay home with their loved ones to help them die in peace at home. But I want to share a story. I'm not going to name names, but my mother, after my dad died, was hospitalized with, like, the flu, and she was too weak to come home after the Medicaid said, you got to go, you done used up your limit. And I explained to the doctor she couldn't even walk, so how can you send her home? So they authorized a 10-day rehab in a nursing home to get her back, you know, mobility. The first 24 hours she's there, I show what, now I was going and taking dad to, I'm sorry, it was before dad died. I was taking her to have breakfast and dinner with dad, and we would visit. And the first night she's there, the next morning when we show up for breakfast, or when I showed up for breakfast, it looks like she got hit with a baseball bat on the left side of her face. I'm like, oh, my God, what has happened to my mother? Well, long and short of it, Albert, is they put her on the toilet, and the aides went and found something else to do for a while and left her there. And my mother got up off the toilet and get back in bed, and she hits the cement face first. Mm-hmm. So I don't panic. I don't freak out. Accidents happen. And they told me, they said, sir, you need to take this medical records book with you. I'm going to have mine checked. So I bring her back, and there's no hard feelings. I'm not threatening to sue anybody. Accidents happen, okay? People are human. And so the next night goes by, and everything's fine. The next night comes, I go to have a nightly visit with mom and bring her some candy. And she's still in her street clothes because all the aides are watching TV up in the front cafeteria. It was the day Michael Jackson died. So the aide sees me coming in. And as you were saying, when they know you're checking, they are responsive. I want to tell you that. You can't check right. too much. Too stern on about their, you know, why is my mother still in this diaper from this morning? Anyway, bottom line is they see me and they start walking down the hallway with me. I go in there. It's almost 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and she's still in her street clothes. And so they said, well, you're going to have to step out the room for a minute and we'll get mom in her pajamas. So I did. And I go back in, and they got mom all tucked under the covers, all sweet and pretty. And I said, mom, I got that chocolate you've been wanting so badly, so sit up. You can't eat chocolate laying down. And when I pull the covers back, I find fresh blood on the sheet. Mm-hmm. Now, at 80-something years old, I know one reason it ain't there, but I said, mom, you're bleeding. She goes, I am. And I pulled the covers back, and Albert, her flannel pajama leg was just soaked in coagulated blood. And this was, in other words, they ripped her leg open on that antiquated hospital bed. There was some point on that bed you know, how they go up and down that caught her flesh. But that Orion and that aide tucked her under them covers and hid her from me, hoping they could deal with it after I left. Well, needless to say, I went berserk, and I took charge like a battle leader, giving orders. I'm taking her to the hospital, and yada, yada, yada. Next thing is they want to have me arrested for disturbing the peace. And in their best interest, that didn't happen. But that night, I took Mom from the hospital and brought her back home because I said, you know, I'd rather see you die in my house than to be treated like this. Two major injuries in 72 hours.
Yeah.
I filed suit, and I'd never, ever filed suit against my daddy. Never filed suit for anybody. Not to say that they didn't go to court for business purposes, but I never tried to get blood money. I filed the suit. And I had a very strong lawyer. He's a public representative as well. Very honest and man of integrity. He files the suit and then learn that there's a statute in the state of Louisiana that says the maximum liability nursing homes can be sued for is $1,000.
I don't think that's not correct.
No, that's not correct.
That's not correct.
That's not.
That's absolutely not correct.
Well, that's what he and we settled for $1,000 because that was the maximum that a nursing home could be held for.
No, that's not true. Don't know where he got that or how he came up with that, but no, that's not the case.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to learn the truth. Not that it matters. It doesn't change anything because the statute of limitations probably has expired, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean,
if you settle the case,
yeah.
You know, and so especially, you know, back when Michael Jackson passed, it's been quite a while. But no, you know, you can sue a nursing home, you know, just like any other medical provider. And, you know, we've done it in the past, and we work with other attorneys that kind of specialize in nursing home care. And, it's not $1,000, I promise you.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, and you hear those stories, you know, and some nursing homes are better than others. You know, especially with a lot of Medicaid that, you know, they don't pay the high dollar that it really truly costs probably to operate a nursing home. And so if it's a nursing home that takes a lot of Medicaid patients, you're looking at, we're gonna hire the least expensive nursing assistants to do the work, right? And look, the other thing you've got to look out for is theft. My cousin put my aunt in Alabama in a nursing home years ago. My aunt's long since passed away, but put her in a nursing home, and her jewelry was gone. And so my cousin, of course, immediately suspected the CNA that was taking care of my aunt. And so she looked her up on Facebook. And sure enough, she was selling jewelry on Facebook. Not my aunt's jewelry, apparently, that had been sold already, or she hadn't gotten to it yet. But she was selling rings and other, you know, jewelry on Facebook over the internet. And so my cousin brought it to the attention of the nursing home. And said, oh, we can't prove it, this and that. They kind of swept it under the rug. But just don't bring the expensive jewelry to the nursing home. Leave it home. Maybe leave a little cheap ring for Mom to wear if she wants to wear a ring, or Dad to, you know, a little metal and chain or something. But yeah, definitely don't do that, because they can steal it. And then, you know, unless you have video in there, showing what happens. Oh, you should hear the stories. I mean, I hear stories about how they keep the phone away and, you know, it's on a charger, but we got to plug your charger in way over here. Well, Mom can't get up. She's bedridden. So the phone rings and nobody answers it. because it's sitting across the way, and so that you're always picking up a message every time you give a call to mom. So you got to go visit. You got like Doug said, you know, you got to be present and be the squeaky wheel and say, why isn't mom getting this care? Why isn't mom getting that care? Because they know if you're not around, you're not going to be paying a whole lot of attention.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, you weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. LSU baseball, number one in the country. They're finishing up their series with North Alabama from pregame, wow. 12:30, first pitch, 1 p.m. Stay tuned. Also, Tuesday night, their last game before SEC schedule against Missouri next Sunday. They have Tuesday night, Xavier, Ohio, at Alex Box Stadium. We can catch that at 6:30 on the bet, 92.9 FM. Go Tigers. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Tim from Jefferson. Hey, Tim, what you have for us, brother?
Hey, I leased an apartment in Houston for 14 years while I worked there. And I recently moved in September. There was no formal checkout process. A month later, I received a bill for $650 to replace light fixture covers and things like that, vents, things like that. So I called them and said I was not going to pay it. It's been 14 years, and they've turned it to a collection firm in Florida. And I sent an email explaining why I did not owe the money. And I got a call last Friday saying they wanted to talk about this. And it's $650. I'm not going to pay it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know what my options are there.
Well, I mean, my advice would be, I'm sure it's prescribed, even under Texas law. Tell them I'm not going to pay it. It's prescribed. Sue me. And I think what happens is they have these third-party collection companies that buy a book of debt. And some of the debt is good. Maybe a lot of the debt inside the book is prescribed, not good, not provable. And they buy it for maybe two, 3 cents on the dollar.
Statute of limitations, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's prescribed, again, yeah, as statute of limitations. So, you know, they what they do is they get on the phone and, you know, they try to, for lack of a better word, especially cases that are debts that are too old or maybe tenuous, they try to scare you into a settlement. And most of the time in these situations, they have if they don't collect from you, they just write it off and say they're not going to try to sue. So if it's a debt that's not valid substantively, or it's not valid because of the passage of time, which is called, you know, prescription, you tell them you're not paying it, you know it's prescribed, and do what you have to do and hang up. I mean, that's basically. And at that point, they'll know that you know that there's not a factual basis or a legal basis for the debt anymore, and they're not going to pursue it any further. So
yeah, the other thing you might do, the other thing you might want to do is get a hold of your credit reporting agencies, and you know, just run a credit report for yourself to see if they have. File something with Experian or one of the credit reporting companies, and then if so, then write a letter explaining everything and have that in your file just to kind of protect your credit. Because if you ignore it, it's presumed to be true. So, and then it'll affect your credit score. You know, those things kind of fall off the credit score after a while. But I would go ahead and do that just to protect myself, to send a letter. To all three credit reporting companies and to say, hey, look, you know, this, but you know, do a search. You can get a search done to see if it's showing up on your credit report. And if it is, then respond to it.
All right. Just be real straight to the point and definitive, and they probably won't call you back. Let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. All right, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Got about 2 minutes, Albert. Any closing comments?
Not really. I'll be off next weekend. So Doug will handle it. I'll probably bring his lovely wife on the show. So, of course, the St. Patrick's Day Parade is next week. And I do want to I'm going this afternoon, Doug. You might be interested in this. After the show, my wife and I are heading over to Independence, Louisiana, for the Independence Sicilian Festival.
Oh, there you go.
I think the meatball toss is today. But, yeah, they had bands and you know, a lot of Sicilians moved to that area. When I went to St. Paul's, we had a number of folks from Hammond and Independence in that area, and you know, all with names ending in a vowel. And I went and visited there and here and there, and the food was amazing. All this Italian food, and so we're going to go two weeks before they have a spaghetti and meat sauce or meatball competition, and then you know they tell you who wins, and they have a booth. And so I think the plan is to go and maybe see if I can score me a bucket of meatballs and bring them home and freeze them and extend the turn to the festival for a few months while I eat meatballs and spaghetti from Independence, Louisiana, cooked by true Sicilians.
Well, the Sicilians that came over, the ones that worked in the farm were in Independence, and the ones that sold were down at the French Market. I remember one of our clients was the mayor of Tickfaw. And when he had the election, it's like a student council election because the vote's like 300 to 200 he won. But one of the big issues was maintaining the meatball dinner at the VFW hall every Sunday. That was his platform. I will make sure that there will be meatball dinners every weekend at the VFW hall if I'm elected as mayor. So there you go. All right, so we'll see you next week on all things legal. Y'all have a great week, and be good, be blessed. And those in Independence, enjoy the meatballs. Ciao.